is the audio video is good. Fine, okay, all right. ఓం శ్రీ గురుభ్యో నమః. హరిః ఓం. పూర్ణమదః పూర్ణమిదం పూర్ణాత్ పూర్ణముదచ్యతే పూర్ణస్య పూర్ణమాదాయ పూర్ణమేవావశిష్యతే. ఓం శాంతి శాంతి శాంతిః. శ్రీ గురుభ్యో నమః. హరిః ఓం. ప్రశ్నోపనిషత్ చాప్టర్ 6 మంత్ర 4. స ప్రాణమసృజత ప్రాణశ్రద్ధా ఖం వాయుజ్యోతిరాపః పృథివీంద్రియం మనః అన్నం అన్నాద్వీర్యం తపోమంత్రాః కర్మలోకాః లోకేషు చ నామ చ. సో ఇన్ దిస్ ఫైనల్ చాప్టర్ ఆఫ్ ప్రశ్నోపనిషత్, ఇట్స్ అ స్మాల్ చాప్టర్ విత్ ఓన్లీ 8 మంత్రాస్. సో ఆచార్య పిప్పలాద హీ ప్రెసెంట్స్ the entire Vedantic teaching as an answer to the question by Sukesha Bharadwajaha, that is the name of the disciple. So he has asked about Shodasakala Purushaha, that's what we saw in the last webinar, and we said the word Shodasakala has got the direct meaning, which is the universe or the world, because the universe, the Upanishad actually here divides the world into 16 components. Kala means components, Shodasha means 16, so it is Shodasha Kala is 16 components. But here the student uses the word Shodasha Kala Purushaha. So when you join them together, it means Purushaha is Ishwaraha and Shodasha Kala is the world. So Shodasha Kala Purushaha means Bhagavan, the Lord, in the form of the world. Or world in the form of Bhagavan, whichever way we want to take it. So to use the Bhagavad Gita language, it is the universal person or the Vishwarupa Ishwara. So the question is, teach me Vishwarupa Ishwara. That is the question. And as we said in the last webinar, Bhagavan can be in the form of the universe only under one condition. So gold can be, for example, in the form of ornaments, because gold is the cause of ornament. And wood can be in the form of furniture because wood is the cause for the furniture. Therefore, if Bhagavan has to be in the form of the world, what should be the condition? Bhagavan has to be the cause of the world. That is why we said Jagat Karanam. That alone can be Jagat Rupam. So, in the Rupam means in the form of, in the form of. So, the cause of the universe alone can be in the form of the universe. And therefore, first the teacher wants to point out, Purushaha is Jagat Karanam, the cause of the universe. And once we know that, out of the Purushaha alone, the universe rises. In Purusha alone, the universe rests. Which means, Purusha alone appears in the form of the universe. And into the Purusha itself, all the 16 kalas, they get resolved, the world resolves. So, Srishti, Sthiti and Laya Karanam Purushaha. So that's what the teacher wants to point out in his answer. So Shodasa Kalaha Yasmin Prabhavanti. That was said earlier. So that is already. And then the teacher gave one more important point, because the question was what? Where is the Jagat Karanam Purushaha? Because Jagat Karanam, once you say, we can then imagine maybe, you know, some higher heavens are there, some other place that is beyond the clouds, that there is a Lord sitting there. But Pipalada says, Ihaiva Asmin Sharire. So that Jagat Karanam Purushaha is in your own heart, in the form of Chaitanyam. Just as the Swapna Prapancha arises out of me only, here the Upanishad says, actually it is very, very difficult to grasp, the Jagrat Prapancha also arises out of me only. So that Purushaha is inside. And after presenting these ideas in the first 3 mantras, in the 4th mantra that we just read, these 16 kalas are enumerated. Up to this we have seen in the last webinar. but it is highly assorted list, the list that is given here. There is no rhyme or reason for that list, therefore in that order. Therefore, for our convenience, we will now divide this entire list into three groups. First is the external group of 9 members, then an internal group of 3 members, and the third group are the group based on shastras, connected with the shastra or scriptures, of 4 members. So 9 plus 3 plus 4 is 16, Shoda Sakala. So the first list has got the Pancha Bhutani, 5 items, then Lokaha, world of living beings, all the Lokas, and all the 14 Lokas, they are all counted, clubbed together as one. And then Annam food is very important. Then Viryam is nutrition or the power of Annam, Viryam, Virya Shakti, Anna Shakti, and the last one is Nama, the name. So name is important because all transactions requiring naming the object. Therefore, 5 plus 4 equals 9, that is the first group, that is the external group. And then the internal group that consists of 3 components, Prana, Manaha, Indriyam. So these 3, Prana, Manaha, Indriyam, 3. And Indriyam itself has got 10 organs, but we count them as one in one group. So these are the 3 internal groups. And the last group based on the scriptures, that is Mantra. Mantra is the Veda Mantra, Darig Mantra, Yajur Veda Mantra, Sama Veda Mantra, Atharvana Veda Mantra. Then Karma, Tapas, and Shraddha. So Shraddha is the faith, the possibility of the faith. If there is no faith in creation, everything will be in trouble. So we go everything based on the faith in the scriptures. So therefore, Mantra, Karma, Tapaha, Shraddha, this is the final group. So when Bhagavan created the world, Bhagavan gave out the Veda also. That is why we never look upon Veda as a human composition. We don't accept human authorship for Vedas. Human beings are only propagators. They are not the authors, including all the rishis. They are only propagators of the Vedas. So that is why Veda is called Apaurusheya Pramana, not of a human origin. There is no human contamination. It's not there. Human connection is there, but there is no human contamination. Because if human intellect is involved, confusion will be involved. Confusion might come. So mantra was given by the Lord. But the Veda will become utterly useless without Shraddha, faith. So Shraddha in the values and the validity and the divinity of the Vedas. Therefore, Bhagavan gave faith also as a faculty of the mind. Very important faculty is faith. So Veda, Shraddha. And within the Veda, there is karma, there are tapas, so tapa, and then upasana, all those things are also mentioned. So karma and upasana are given for what purpose? For refining the mind. So once these are all there, we can study then Prashna Upanishad and get out of samsara. But the Upanishad gives them in a different order. So we'll see the meaning of the first now. So in fact, this is the escape route of actually Brahman. So Brahman somehow entered into these jivas. Like Abhimanyu entering the chakra vyuham. One should not get caught into the vyuham, one should be able to get out also. So Brahman wanted a way out also. And what is the way out? Is the final group. So using that, the jiva, he can again come back to Brahman. So Brahman to jiva and jiva to Brahman, the whole path is now very clear. Okay, so of these 16 kalas, which one will be given prominence? The Veda says pranaha. If prana is not there, life will not be there at all. If there is no living being, but let us say there are so many libraries of Vedas and all books are kept, there's no use. Therefore, prana is most important. So, pranam asrijata. Then shraddha. Shraddha is faith. Then kam in space, akasha. Vayu, air. Jyotihi, the power. Apaha, waters. Prithivi, earth. Indriyam, the sense organs. And manaha, mind. And then annam, food. Viryam means the nourishment or the shakti or balam. Shakti is nourishment, energy. Then tapaha is austerity, including upasana or meditation. Then mantra the Vedas. Then karma, Vedic karmas. Then lokaha, all the 14 lokas which provide the infrastructure for the living beings. Remember, even though there are many planets, all planets don't have a conducive condition for life. So the word loka means an infrastructure where life is possible. And therefore lokaha and lokeshu cha in the world, nama. Nama is the name. Name is very important for verbal transactions. So all the 16, and if you connect this mantra to Mundaka Upanishad that we just went through, there is a mention of the kala in the context of Ajnani attaining Videha Mukti, if you remember. So Mundaka Upanishad, it says, at the time of death, all the 15 kalas of Ajnani are resolved into Ishvara. But Prashnopanishad mentions how many? 16 kalas. Mundaka Upanishad says 15. So naturally, what would be the question? Which is the other, the remaining kala? That's what we should ask. So then there in Mundaka Upanishad we saw the name of a jnani continues to be there in the world even after jnani attains Videha Mukti. So Adishankaracharya has attained samadhi centuries before, but still that name is there. So name alone remains during Videha Mukti. Okay, Shloka 5. సయథేమా నద్యస్యందమానా సముద్రాయణాః సముద్రం ప్రాప్యాస్తం గచ్చంతి విద్యేతే తాసాం నామ రూపే సముద్ర ఇత్యేవం ప్రోచ్యతే ఏవమేవాస్య పరిద్రష్టురిమాః షోడశ కళా పురుషాయణాః పురుషం ప్రాప్యాస్తం గచ్చంతి విద్యేతే చాసాం నామ రూపే పురుష ఇత్యేవం ప్రోచ్యతే స ఏషో కలో మృతో భవతి తదేశ శ్లోకః. సో ఇన్ ద ప్రీవియస్ మంత్ర ది ఉపనిషత్ సెట్ దట్ ఆల్ ది 16 కలాస్ దే ఆరిజినేటెడ్ ఫ్రమ్ ది పురుష. ఇన్ పురుష ఇన్ ప్రశ్నోపనిషత్ ఈస్ ఇన్ దిస్ చాప్టర్ ఈస్ బ్రహ్మన్. సో ఇన్ దిస్ మంత్ర ఆల్ ది 16 కలాస్ దే రిసాల్వ్ ఇన్ టు పురుష. పురుష ఈస్ నాట్ ఓన్లీ సృష్టి కారణం, పురుష ఈస్ ఆల్సో లయ కారణం. స్థితి కారణం ఇస్ నాట్ మెన్షన్డ్ బట్ ఇస్ అండర్స్టాండ్. అండ్ హౌ డస్ ది ఆల్ ది కలాస్ రిసాల్వ్ ఇన్ టు పురుష ఆర్ బ్రహ్మన్? ప్రశ్నోపనిషత్ గివ్స్ అన్ ఎగ్జాంపుల్ విచ్ ఇస్ ద సేమ్ ఎగ్జాంపుల్ గివన్ ఇన్ ద ముండకోపనిషత్ ఆల్సో. వాట్ ఇస్ దాట్? రివర్స్ ఆరిజినేటింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ ఓషన్ అండ్ అల్టిమేట్లీ మెర్జింగ్ ఇన్ టు ఓషన్. జస్ట్ యాజ్ ద ఓషన్ ఈస్ సృష్టి అండ్ లయ కారణం ఆఫ్ రివర్స్, సిమిలర్లీ there we saw all the details in Mundaka Upanishad. Similarly, for Shodasa Kalaha, Brahman is Laya Karana. And now look at this example. Ima Nadyaha, all the rivers. Because those days, all the ashramas, they were all on river banks. And the teaching was taking place on river banks. That is why the Guru is showing these rivers. He doesn't say those rivers. He says Imaha Nadyaha, all these rivers. Spandamanaha, while they are flowing, samudrayanaha, they flow in the direction of the ocean only, samudram. So samudram prapya, they merge into the ocean. And what is merger? Water is not gone, water is not destroyed, only that particular nama and rupa. For example, like Ganga, Yamuna, Saraswati, all these Mississippi, Delaware, all those namas and rupas only, they are dropped. The content, the waters are not destroyed. Similarly, Anatma Nama Rupa will go away. The Chaitanyam never goes. Therefore, Antam Gacchanti, they resolve. Vidyate, both the Nama and Rupa, name and form, they disappear. Tasam Nama Rupe, of the rivers, actually the Dina, Tasam. So far, their names and forms. And thereafter, what remains? Samudra Ityeva Prochyate. So Ganga is what? Samudram. After merging, Yamuna is Samudram, Saraswati is Samudram, Mississippi is Samudram. So all these name, individual names disappear, but they all become one water, Samudram alone. Evameva, in the same way, Imaha Shodasa Kalaha, the entire universe also, at the time of Pralayam, Purushayanaha is going towards Bhagavan, Purusha alone. Remember, Purusha means Brahman, as we told earlier. So Jagat Karanam, పురుషం ప్రాప్యం అంతం గచ్చంతి, దే డిసప్పియర్ ఆఫ్టర్ మెర్జింగ్ ఇన్ టు ద ఓషన్. దట్ ఈస్ వై బిఫోర్ సృష్టి వాట్ వాస్ దేర్? బ్రహ్మవా ఇదం అగ్ర ఆసీత్, ఆత్మావా ఇదం అగ్ర ఆసీత్, ఆత్మా. సో ఆత్మా వాస్ ద వన్ బిఫోర్ సృష్టి, during srishti, after srishti, all the time. So purushaha ityevam prochyate. Tasam namarupe. All the namarupas, names and forms responsible for the individuality, they all will dissolve. And what happens to the purusha? Saha yeshaha akalaha amrutaha bhavati. That Karana Purushaha, that Brahma, is now Akalaha, without any division. Kalam is division. This is without any division. Divisionless Brahma. And divisionless means, again, we should understand, Sajatiyam, Vijatiyam, Swagatam, Beda Rahitam, Brahma. So all these three different distinctions, that Vedas, they are all gone. And Amrutaha Bhavati, where there is no division, there is no limitation, there is no Maranam also. So Purusha is immortal, and this kind of resolution during Pralayam happens for all the Jivas. Because at the time of Pralayam, all Jivas will merge where? They all will go to Brahman only. Then what is the difference between Jiva and a Jnani, or an Ajnani and Jnani? In the case of an Ajnani Jiva, even though they also resolve into Ishvara at Maranam or Pralayam, because of ignorance, and karma, karma means karma palam, they come back during next creation. Whereas in the case of a jnani, merger is final. In Mundaka Upanishad, a special name was given. We saw that. Parantakalaha. Ajnani smaranam is called antakalaha. When ajnani dies, this is not the final death for him. Whereas when jnani dies, his death is called parantakalaha, final death. Why final death? He will not again be born to die another time. That is what happens during Maranam, Paralayam and all that time. So, but this dissolution is only temporary. But what happens in the case of a Jnani? Shankaracharya makes a very important note in his commentary. And he says, in the case of a Jnani, the 16 Kalas, they resolve not at the time of Pralayam. It doesn't have to wait until Pralayam. But at the time of Jnanam itself. When a jnani gains jnanam, at that time itself it resolves. In the case of an ajnani, the 16 kalas, they resolve at the time of maranam or pralayam. The whole world is resolved into Brahman at the time of jnanam. Then, does that mean that a jnani resolves the whole world at the time of jnanam, and thereafter, after jnanam, will he see the world or not? Because he is still, he is not physically dead. He got jnanam. And he resolved the whole world at the time of Jnanam. Will he see the world or not? That question can come, because at the time of Jnanam, he resolves everything. And if Jnani doesn't see the world, he cannot then teach. He has to see the world. He cannot talk to himself. So we have to note, resolution or dissolution is of two types. We have talked about this also before. We gave the example of a pot. And part can be dissolved, resolved, or destroyed by two methods. Of which one method is a very popular method. What we should do? Just to drop the part. Then it will resolve into clay. That is the karanam. And this is called karmana nashaha. Through karma, that is, karma here is dropping the karma. By dropping, you destroy the part and bring it to clay back. And there is another type of dissolution, which also we have talked about earlier, jnanena nashaha. So previous one is karmana nashaha. This is jnanena nashaha. You dismiss the part by sheer enquiry. What type of enquiry it is? Is there a substance called part or not? Look around the part. What do you see? We see only clay all over the part. Therefore, part is only a name for a form. There is no substance called part. Once we understand that there is no part other than clay, then it is called dissolution of the pot. So dissolution of pot into the clay is nothing but understanding. There is no pot other than clay. This is called jnanena layaha, and the other one is called karmana layaha. So karmana layaha is called karmana nashaha. Jnanena layaha is called badaha. Very important, two words. So jnani resolves the whole world into karana purusha. How? Looking at the world. He looks like, as we look at the part and see the part only as clay, the jnani looks at the world. He doesn't destroy the world. As we keep the part in hand, what should we say? There is no part, there is no part, there is no part. It is all clay. That's what we should say at the time of jnanam. So, ghata jnanam, that's what we will do. Similarly, looking at the world, the jnani says, it is all vacharambanam vikaro namadeyam purushaha eva satyam. So, this all entire thing is all mithya. Purusha alone is satyam. That's what the jnani says. So, yeka sara nitya satya. That is the Brahman. This we already we have seen that earlier. So, this is called dissolution. And that kind of dissolution, jnani does. So, and what remains? Sa eshaha akalaha amrutaha bhavati. And where is that purusha? When you dissolve the whole world into purusha, where is that purusha? You should not look up and down. Ihaiva asmin sharire. As what? In this body itself. As what? As Sakshi Chaitanyam. As the witness consciousness. Therefore, Upanishad uses a very important word. If you see the third line. Paridrashtuhu. So, who is the Purushaha? Is none other than the Drashta, the Sakshi Chaitanyam. The witness consciousness. Jnani dissolves the entire world of 16 kalas into Mayeva Sakalam Jatam. Mayi Sarvam Pratishtitam. Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya Jivo Brahmaiva Nataraha. Very, very important mantra. Then the Upanishad says, Tadesha Shlokaha. With regard to this, there is a following Rig Mantra. This is Atharvana Veda Upanishad quoting Rig Veda Mantra. Mantra 6. Arayiva Ratanabhau Kalayasmin Pratishtitaha Tam Vedya Purusham Veda Yata Mavo Mrityuho Parivyata Iti. So, Arayiva Ratanabhau. This is a very popular example in the Vedas. Because they have the wheel, the chakra, and the wheel has a central hub, and there are various spokes are coming out of that central hub, and the external rim is supported by that hub alone through the spokes, and because of that rim alone, the movement is happening. The chakra is moving, so movement is possible. But still, that rim is supported by what? The central nabi. So that's what it says. So similarly, Purushaha alone is the central support, the Satyam Adhishtanam, for all kalas to revolve around. So often in the Shastra, world is compared to a chakra. Why? Because of two reasons. One, it is revolving around. If you read astrology books, even galaxies are circling. Recently only again, no, yesterday all the Saturn, it was moving. So it's all moving around, rotating. So the entire world is revolving. Therefore, it is called the chakram. And because of these changes, our mind also is getting chakra. Therefore, our life also is called chakram. Therefore, ratanabhav araha iva. Just as the spokes are fixed or based on the ratanabhi. In the same way, kalaha. If we take the entire universe as a chakram with the 16 spokes, it is called Brahma chakram. In Svetasvatara Upanishad, there is another Upanishad. The word there, chakram, is used. Consisting of how many spokes here now? 16. Shodasa, 16 spokes are there. And all of them are fixed on the nabi. Nabi here is Purushaha, which itself doesn't move around. Yasmin Pratishtita. And what is the main purpose of life? Don't get caught in the 16 kalas. Because they are maya. They keep us busy throughout. And therefore, not getting caught in the kala, may you come to the central motionless peg. Actually, in our old homes in the villages, we used to have a stone grinder in those days. And that grinder will have a stationary stone at the bottom with a central peg in the middle. And there will be an upper revolving stone which will have a handle, you rotate. So they go on grinding, put, there will be a central hole, so you put the grinds under the, into that and go on grinding. So all the grains, they get ground. And at the end, when they take the top stone out, what happens? Everything would have been, made into a powder. But there will be still some grains, whole grains, they will be remaining at the center. And they escaped the grinding process. And they will be sticking to the central peg. So those who have surrendered to the middle stationary Purushaha, that peg, like that, they won't get affected. Like that, the teacher says, Tam Vedya Purusha Veda Yatha. So here the word Veda and Yatha, they are taken as two different words here. So Veda and Yatha. There is an alternative reading also, Vedyatha. May you all know. That's what it means. So what should you know? Vedyam Purusham. That changeless, eternal, ekasara nitya satya purushaha. May you know that purushaha. Because once you go to that purushaha, Kala, the time principle, Yamadharma Raja, he cannot touch me. All the Kala can touch only Kalas, not the Purusha. So 16 Kalas, the Kala cannot touch the Adhishtanam, namely the Purushaha. You come to Adhishtana Sakshi Purushaha, you are never affected. Najagate mriyate vakadachitim nayam bhutvam bhavita vanabhuyaham ajo nityaha shashvatoyam puranaha nahanyate hanyamane sharire Bhagavad Gita. Body is one of the kalas only. It will go away. But I am never affected. I am the Chaitanyam, the Sakshi Chaitanyam. I am never affected. Therefore, to get out of mortality and the fear of mortality. Actually, actual mortality is not a problem. Because it is a second affair. 1 second, life goes. But the fear of mortality and its preconditions, they alone cause samsara. Therefore, the teacher says, may you know, so that Yamadharma Raja will not threaten you. Mrityuhu kalaha va kalavaha. Mam parivyatha. Parivyatha is harassing. So, hurting, disturbing. So, Mrityu, Yamadharma Raja, he will not disturb you anymore if a person has this jnana. So, what will happen then? Only when you know the Purushaha, not only you know the Purushaha, you have to claim, I am that Purushaha iti. Once, not only knowing Purusha, one should be able to claim, owning up, that Purushaha is none other than myself. Mantra 7. Tan ho vacha aitavadeva ahametat param brahma veda nata paramasti iti. Tan ho vacha aitavat eva. So after quoting the Rigveda mantra in the previous shloka, that is why iti is there. Iti means it indicates quotation. Because the Atharvaveda mantra is quoting Rigveda mantra. Iti. And after completing this teaching, which is a very comprehensive teaching, Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya, Jivo Brahma Ivana Aparaha, that's what is being taught. All the three components of Vedanta have been clearly taught. So, Than Uvacha, what are the three components? Brahma Satyam, Jagan Mithya, Jivo Brahma Ivana Aparaha. They are the three components. So, that's already taught. Tan Uvacha. So all the six disciples, the Guru addresses all of them. Tan Uvacha. What did he say? Etavat eva aham veda. I know this much only. Etavat eva aham veda. Aham means referring to Pipalada, myself, the teacher. I know only this much. About what? Etat param brahma. So the param brahma, which you wanted to know in the name of the Shodasakala Purushaha, whatever Brahman you wanted to know, I have taught you to the best of my knowledge. I know this much only. So when the Guru makes that statement, I know this much only, naturally the Shishya will be wondering. That means there may be something more also to learn. Should I have to go to another Guru? Because he says, I know this much. Again, they have to go to another Guru, another Gurukulavasa. So naturally the student, they were concerned. Therefore, they must have perhaps asked the question. Actually, those things are not given here. They are all imagination. We have to supply. Hey, Guru, is there something more that we have to know? As if the students are asking the teacher. When the Shishya asks such question, Ataha param kinchit astikim. Is there something more that you have not taught already? The students, if they ask, the Guru says, there is nothing else. Now he says, nothing else remains to be learned. Because this much knowledge is liberating knowledge. Even if you are ignorant of anything else in the creation, that ignorance won't affect you. What ignorance? Language ignorance, physics ignorance, chemistry ignorance, mathematics ignorance, doesn't matter. Anything we don't know, we need not know. If you know this, that ignorance will not affect us because the fundamental ignorance is gone. Therefore, the teacher says, Ataha param na asti. Nothing more to learn worthwhile at all. So, aparam brahma veda nata param asti. So all the Shishyas, they were all now relaxed. No more thing at all, no more doubts to be raised and cleared. They need not go to another teacher in search of another guru. So they feel blessed and complete. So they wanted to express their gratitude. Therefore, they had a puja to the guru and did namaskara to him. That is the final mantra we will read. Mantra 8. Te tamarchayantaha tvam hina pitha yosmakam avidyaya paramparam tarayasiti namaha paramarishibhyaha namaha paramarishibhyaha. So all of them organized perhaps a pada puja to the teacher. Te tam archayantaha. Te means all these disciples. Tam gurum. What is his name? Pippalada. Pippalada Rishi. So to that guru, they offered worship to that Rishi. Then together they uttered the following words of gratitude. That is most revealing in the Upanishad. Tvam hi. Onwards is the quotation. Tvam hi naha pita. He Rishehe, he guru. Not only you are our guru, but you are like our father also. Tvam hi na pita. Tvameva mata cha pita tvameva. That idea. You are like our father. Why? Because you have given us the most fundamental education. What is the job of the father or the parent? That is, in general, to educate the child. You have given that liberating education, not some material education. Liberating education you have given us. And by that, you have taken us across the ocean of ignorance, ocean of samsara. Therefore, avidya, ignorance, is here compared to the ocean. And paramparam, param means the other shore. From this shore to the other shore of knowledge, you have taken us. And Vedanta, in Vedanta, avidya refers to samsara. Ignorance refers to samsara because samsara is caused by ignorance. Therefore, samsara and ignorance are both compared to ocean. Ocean of ignorance. And you have been taken across. You have taken us across. And for going across the ignorant ocean, what should be the boat used? Knowledge is the boat. In the Bhagavad Gita, sarva jnana plavena eva. Plava means boat. Jnana, raft or the ship of knowledge. So with that, as an oarsman, as a boatman, you have taken us across the ocean of samsara. And when the Shishya gave credit to the guru was so humbled. He said, the credit doesn't belong to me at all. Why? Because I got this knowledge from my guru. And if you go to my guru, what he will say? He got this knowledge from his guru. Therefore, every acharya in the parampara is equally important. So instead of doing guru namaskara, we do guru parampara namaskara. Sadashiva samarambam, Shankaracharya madhyamam, asmat acharya paryantam, vande guru paramparam. So namaskara goes to the entire guru parampara. Namaha paramarishibhyaha. Here the rishis, acharyas, the guru parampara. And this gratitude is so intense that any amount of namaskara will be insufficient. Therefore, the mantra is repeated. Namaha paramarshipyaha. And also, the end of the Upanishad is indicated when it is repeated. We already mentioned it earlier. And if you go to Mundaka Upanishad also, there also the final mantra is Namaha paramarshipyaha. Namaha paramarshipyaha. Indicating Mundaka and Prashnopanishad are complementary Upanishads. We already saw that also earlier. With this, the sixth question also has been answered, and all the six students are happy. Therefore, Pippalada ended his teaching. So, with this, the text on Prashna Upanishad is complete. Now, before we conclude, as usual, let us do a brief summary of the entire Upanishad. So, Prashna Upanishad, it belongs to the Atharvana Veda, as we said earlier. It is considered a complementary Upanishad to Mundaka Upanishad. And this Upanishad is called Prashna Upanishad because some disciples, they come and they ask questions to an acharya. And the Upanishad is given as an answer to those questions. Six disciples came, six questions, six chapters of questions. Therefore, it got the name Prashna Upanishad. Really speaking, it should be, I mentioned in the introduction also, it should be Prashna Uttara Upanishad, the question and answer Upanishad. It has got 67 mantras spread over 6 chapters. and the entire teaching is given as a dialogue between Guru Pipaladam and six disciples. And each disciple asks one or more questions and the Guru Pipalada answers them. So this is the development. Now when you come to the first chapter, it consists of 16 mantras. And this is the answer to the question by the first disciple by the name Katyayanaha. And the students, Katyayana, he asked the question, how do all living beings originate? And an answer to that question, Pipalada presents a summary of the entire creation process, Srishti Prakarana. All living beings, they came out of Bhagavan, the Lord. And God does not directly create. What he does, he creates Brahmaji first, Brahmaji or Prajapati first. And he delegates the job of creation to him. And he went to take rest in Sri Radhi perhaps. So he's a smart God. He creates Brahma, he educates Brahma and instructs Brahma to produce everything. So from Prajapati, the entire creation comes. And here the creation is presented in four stages, which is very unique to Prashnopanishad. In the first stage, the Upanishad talks about Mithuna Srishti, the pair, the creation of the first pair in the form of Surya and Chandra. We also mentioned as Prana and Rayi, the sun and the moon here. Food and all that, the moon representing all that. And why should the Upanishad talk about Surya and Chandra first? The reason is both of them represent Kala Tattvam, the time principle. And the most important part of creation is Kalaha. Without time principle, creation cannot exist. Therefore, to introduce Kala Tattvam, sun and moon are indicated. Sun representing the month, the year and all that. And moon representing Amavasya, Purnami, Tithi and all that. So these are two types of time principles. The solar calendar and the lunar calendar. So both Kala Tattvam. Thereafter, the Kala Tattvam is represented by in three ways. Samvatsara, the year. Masa, the month. And Divasa, the day. And each one of them has got a complementary pair also. Uttarayanam and Dakshinayanam for the year. And for Samvatsara. And Krishna Paksha and Shukla Paksha for the month. And day and night for the day, Divasa. Thus, all Mithunani pairs, they are born. So, Mithuna Srishti and Kala Srishti were talked about. Then the next stage is what? Kalam alone, in Kalam alone, everything originates. Everything arises in time and space. And the next important stage is Anna Srishti, or food for the living beings. Because creating the living beings without food is useless. Therefore, the third stage is Anna Srishti. So, Mithuna Srishti, Kala Srishti, Anna Srishti. Mithuna means the pairs. And Kala Srishti and Anna Srishti. Mithunam representing the Surya Chandra Srishti. And once the food is there, then all living beings represented by varieties of physical bodies. Manushya Shariram, Pashu Shariram, Pakshi Shariram, all of them. So, creation is presented in four stages. And as an aside teaching, Pipalada talks about two important sadhanas or disciplines also given in the Shastras. Because once the living beings are born, then naturally they got goals, they want to achieve things. For attaining the goals, they require the means. Therefore, sadhana and sadhya, means and ends, they are required for living beings, especially the human beings. And two important sadhanas in the form of karma and upasana. Karma refers to the physical and verbal activities. Upasana refers to the meditation, dhyanam, mental activities. So, these are the two types of sadhanas prescribed in the scriptures. And through these two sadhanas, what are the goals that can be achieved? We have to remember that the sadhanas can be practiced without expecting any worldly results, nishkama. They can be practiced for internal spiritual growth. Then both kama and upasana will give sadhana chatushtaya sampatti. But if a person is not interested in internal growth, they can give worldly results. And what are they? Karma can give the heavenly world, swargaloka. And upasana can give brahmaloka, the higher heaven. So lower heavens and higher heavens, they can be got. Karmana, lower heaven. And or aparaswarga, we got also these names. Aparaswarga and upasanaya paraswarga. Superior heaven. Then what is the difference between lower heaven and higher heaven? A person going to lower heaven will go with a return ticket. no permanent residence possible. Whereas through upasana, a person can go to higher loka, that is Brahma loka, and from there through krama mukti, he can gain moksha. Therefore, it is a superior loka. And if a person does get krama mukti, if he doesn't get krama mukti, then he will also has to come back. Shrine punye martya loka vishanti. There is only one advantage, the possibility of krama mukti. So between the two sadhanas, that is karma and upasana, which is superior now? Upasana only is superior because it can give the possibility of gaining krama mukti is there. So this is an aside topic. Then in the first chapter itself, one more aside topic also is given. That is the importance of moral values. Satyam, brahmacharyam, tapaha, all that. Satyam is truthfulness. Brahmacharyam is following the sexual morality and all. And tapaha, simple, austere life, honesty, transparent, all those virtues. So karma, upasana, and jnanam, they all require values. So with this, the second aside note also on values was given. And the chapter, first chapter was concluded. And the second and third chapters, they deal with prana, prana upasana. Because in the first chapter, the Upanishad has pointed out that the upasana is a superior karma. Therefore, it deals with prana upasana. In the second and third chapters, both chapters talk about the glory of prana upasana, prana tattva or life principle. After them, the second chapter talks about the greatness of prana. Then the next question by Bhargava, the student. How many principles sustain a living being? How many principles claim their glory? Which principle is really glorious? These are all questions. So these three questions he asked, Bhargavaha. So Pipalada, he gives the answer in 13 mantras in this chapter. And what is his answer? There are several principles like Jnanendriyani, sense organs of knowledge, Karmendriyani, organs of action, and Antakaranam, the mind, intellect, and Prana, the Pranatattvam, and of course the Panchabhutani. All of them sustain an individual. And all of them claim their glory also. But among all of them, there is only one principle which is the greatest. And what is that principle? Prana is the greatest. And prana claims, I am the most glorious. But all the other organs, they don't want to acknowledge and accept this. Then what does prana do? Then you know the story. Prana said, I am going to stage a walkout. So when sense organs don't function, a person's life is not threatened. For example, if the eyes are not able to see well, one can survive. Ears are not able to hear well, one can still survive. Any other organ doesn't function also, one may have inconvenience, all right, but one can still survive. But minus prana, there is no life possible. Therefore, when prana was about to withdraw, all the organs became weaker. Therefore, they all fell flat and started glorifying prana. Not only the individual prana, that is, one prana alone is there in all living beings. Therefore, we should respect not only Vyashti Prana, the individual Prana, but the Samashti Prana, the total life principle. The entire total life principle is sacred. In villages, actually, if they have to cut a tree for constructing a house or something, before cutting a tree, it is our Sampradaya. They do a puja to the tree. They do arati and ask for forgiveness. And if there is no other way, then alone they cut the tree. Otherwise, the scriptures even threaten with punishment. For cutting a tree, if it is not big, for harming a tree. So these are all things in our scriptures. So the tree is considered, it's all part of the family of creation. So the santati will be affected. The lineage, that will be affected if a tree is destroyed. Therefore, do not destroy. If you destroy, then seek pardon. As a parihara, plant at least 10 trees perhaps, few trees, because we don't know how many of them really will survive. All these, today, in these days, you know, if you go to a township for getting permission to build anything, if you cut so many trees, they say if the diameter of the trunk is going to be more than this many inches, you have to plant so many trees and all, they have stipulations. Now, our scriptures were automatically recommending all these in those days. So, these are all in our culture. Why? Life is sacred. Whether it is a plant life or an insect life. When we even, for example, you know, India, it's very common sight. We use a mosquito bat. I don't know whether you know, it's like a tennis bat, electrical bat, you know. So you can, people hit the, you know, hit the mosquitoes when they come and bite them. Whenever we do that, we should remember this. All insects are sacred. All life forms are sacred. They all have sacred prana. So prana sustains the individual and prana sustains the Samashti Vishwarupa Ishwara also. So this is the prana mahima that is given in chapter 2. Then in chapter 3, that also deals with the same subject matter. Here, Ashwalayana, that's the student, he asks more questions about prana tattvam, the life principle. And what are the questions he asks? How does life originate? Then the second question is, how does life enter into the body? Then third question is, how does it stay in the body? Fourth question, how does it sustain the body? And the fifth question is, after some time, how does it leave the body? So origin, entry, stay, sustenance, departure, all about prana. So people have the answers, this in 12 mantras in the third chapter. And the one, what is the answer to the first question? Prana originates from Atma or Brahman. So Brahman is the ultimate cause, which has got a special creative power called Maya Shakti. So from Maya Tattvam of Brahman, everything comes. Most important, prana comes. So how does it originate from Ishwara? And so that is the answer to that. And how does it enter the body? Because of sankalpa, kama and karma. So desire and action, karma. Karma refers to punya papa karmas, responsible for the body coming into life. And how long prana will be in the body? That is also determined by the punya papa karma, the prarabdha karma. And Pipalada says, mind is responsible for the karma, because actions are born out of our own volition only. Therefore, our mind alone is responsible for our current body as well as our future bodies. What type of thoughts we entertain, what type of actions we do, they will determine the next body. So the second question's answer is what? Karma determines the entry. And the third question is what? How does prana stay in the body? By dividing into fivefold physiological functions, prana stays in the body. In five areas, doing five different functions. What are those? Prana, the respiratory system. Apana, the excretory system. Vyana, the circulatory system. Samana, the digestive system. And Udana, the reversal, the security and departure system. And for each one, it occupies certain areas in the body. Prana is in the head. Apana is in the lower region. Samana, digestion in the Madhya Pradesh. And Vyana is spread all over. Udana is also spread all over. So, in strategic areas of the body, prana stays. This is the answer to the third question. And fourth question is, how does it sustain the individual by performing the fivefold important activities? Even while we are listening to the talk, unknowingly what we do? We are breathing. Our stomach 24/7 is doing something to digest the food, whatever we have taken. Not only digest, the waste products have to be removed. Therefore, through the fivefold functions, prana sustains the body. Then the Upanishad says, not only inside, that prana alone in the form of the Panchabhuta Shakti is sustaining the cosmic makeup also. Agni, Vayu, Jala, Prithivi and Surya Shaktis, all those Shaktis. So in the form of the fivefold Shakti or the power, prana sustains the entire external world also. Bahya Antara Prapancha, it sustains. Then what is the final question? How does it depart? So at the time of death, when the current bunch of prarabdha gets over, is exhausted, prana is connected to karma. It entered because of karma, and therefore, like time bomb, it is ticking. Every breath is counted. That is why when we do pranayama, each breath, each time we breathe in and out, it is a time clock ticking in the life. That is why when we do pranayama, we have longer life because the breath is regulated. When you have fast life, breath becomes faster. Therefore, they say the number of breathing is determined by the karma. So, prana is connected to karma. When prarabdha is about to end, prana withdraws all the sense organs of jnanam, karma and all that. Karmendriyas, jnanendriyas, all of them. They all become weaker and weaker. And not because there is no prana shakti in them. And not only that, among the pancha pranas also, the four pranas become weaker. Udana prana becomes alert and ready at the time of death. If breathing is labored, digestion becomes weak, circulation is already weak, so many things are withdrawn at the time of death, and the udana is indicated by the warmth of life. Actually, in Chandogya Upanishad, it says, we are going to see later, Vang manas sampadyate mana prane pranaha tejasi teja parasyan devatayam. So, this is another mantra we are going to see there. Speech is withdrawn. Mind is active. A dying person has so many thoughts. He is not able to express. Thoughts are there. Mind is still alert and active. But he is not able to express. When mind also resolves, prana alone is there in the form of the warmth of the body. And finally, that one also is withdrawn, the body becomes cold. At the time of withdrawal, the next bunch of prarabdha, it gets ready to fructify, which will determine our thought pattern also. So our final thought at the time of death is also determined by karma. Not only the karma of the current janma, karma includes person also, karma of the current janma, but also the coming karma, coming events called antakala sankalpaha. So that thought also comes to the mind, and the udana takes all the sense organs with it. Then all other pranas, the mind, the sankalpa, and the chidabhasa, we should not forget that, the reflected consciousness, all of them they go when the udana prana leaves the body. Along with that, they all go. So when at the time of death. So if one is a jnani, there is no question of leaving the body. One will merge into Brahman or Ishvara. But if one is not a jnani, according to karma, the jiva will take either higher lokas or lower lokas or middle loka. Superior janma, inferior janma, or whatever janma, whatever type. I may become perhaps a mosquito. And mosquito may become a human being and use a bat against me. The role may be reversed. Thus, prana has got this kind of biography. Then, having talked about all prana, the chapter concludes saying, whoever meditates upon this prana tattvam with all its glories, utpattim, ayatim, sthanam, vibhutvam chaiva, panchada. So, one who meditates the palam of Brahmaloka and possible krama mukti also, that person, so vijnayam, vijnayam amritam ashnute, he will attain amritam. So with this, here the mukti. So with this, the third chapter is also over. So second chapter and third chapter that we also mentioned earlier should be read together. Both talk about prana. So the topic of prana is one prana. So, and also it's upasana. So first three chapters deal with sadhanas, karma and upasana. Now in the fourth chapter, the Vedanta topic comes. It's a very important chapter. Here the fourth disciple by name Gargya, he asked a questions regarding Swapna Avastha, Sushupti Avastha and Atma Swarupam, dream, sleep and Sakshi Chaitanya, the witness. All these he is asking. So during dream, what organs withdraw from activity? What organs continue to function? And who experiences the dream? And when a person enters sleep, who experiences the sushupti ananda, the happiness arising out of sleep, who experiences? And finally, what is the atma, the essential nature in which everything is supported or resting? So, three questions regarding dream, one question on sleep, and one question on atma. Totally, Gargya asked five questions. And Pipalada gives the answers in 11 mantras. So what organs withdraw during dream? All the sense organs withdraw. Then what all the functions? Prana is active. Mind is also active in dream, projecting a dream. And who is the experiencer of the dream? Mind itself divides into two. It becomes the experiencer and the experienced in the dream. Mind pervaded by Chaitanya. Chaitanya Sahitam mind that experiences. And then who experiences the Sushupti Ananda, Sushupti Sukham, at the time of sleep? Who experiences that Sukham? The very same mind alone, in dissolved condition, experiences the Ananda called Prajnaha. So the Prajnaha, which is the Karana Shariram, that mind dissolved in Karana Shariram. Then comes the most important question, the fifth question. It's an important mantra from Mantra 7 to 11, five answers are given. And what does it say? All these three avasthayam, that is Jagrat avastham, Swapna avastham, and Sushupti avastha, they are all variable, subject to arrival and departure. So when we are awake, dream is not there. And when we dream, sleep is not there. And when we sleep, the other two are not there. So the avasthas continuously, they change. But the changing states are witnessed by the consciousness principle, which is permanent. And that non-variable consciousness, that is called avastha traya sakshi, the witness consciousness of all the three avasthas, that alone is the atma. And the Upanishad uses the word aksharam, borrowing it from the Mundaka Upanishad again, the imperishable. And how do you know consciousness is not variable? Because if consciousness also comes and goes, nobody will remember the other state. That I am able to talk about the, all the other three states, that all the three states indicates I am outside of them. If I am inside them, I will also be part of coming and going. The very fact that I am the witness, that indicates I am the non-variable conscious principle, which is Atma. That alone supports all the avasthas. And all in all the other states, three things are, they are called the Triputi. The Triputi, that name also we are familiar, experiencer, experienced object, and experiencing instrument. So all these three are supported by one Atma only. So Atma is Sarva Adhishtanam Bhavati. And the Upanishad concludes by saying, whoever gains this knowledge, he becomes the knower of everything, Sarvajnaha. And he claims, I alone am appearing in the form of everything. I am all with different nama rupas only. So Atma Swarupam and Avastatraya Sakshi is revealed in this chapter. All mantras 7 to 11 are very important mantras. Then in the 5th chapter, the student Satyakama, he asks a question about Omkara Upasana. And Omkara Upasana is comprehensively represented by Pippalada in the short chapter consisting of only 7 mantras. And what is the essence of Omkara Upasana? Omkara Upasana can be used for either Virat Upasana representing the gross universe, Hiranyagarbha Upasana representing the subtle universe, or Ishwar Upasana representing the causal. It can be used for partial Upasana or for total Upasana. That is Virat Upasana, Hiranyagarbha Upasana, or partial Upasana, or total is Antaryami or Ishwar Upasana. So if it is the total, it is called Parambrahma Upasana. If it is partial, it is called Aparambrahma Upasana. All these names are all very familiar. We've talked about all of them during the regular classes. So Parambrahma Upasana is capable of giving Krama Mukti. Krama Mukti means what? Going to Brahma Loka and from there Moksha. After Vedanta Shravana Mananam Nididhyasana. That is the condition. So with this, the 5th chapter is also over. Then in the 6th chapter, final chapter, student Bharadvaja, he asks a question regarding the Shodasakala Purushaha, the Vishwarupa Ishwara. We saw most of it today. And that is taught by Pippalada in 8 mantras and the most important chapter of Prashna Upanishad, especially from mantra 4 to 6 that we covered today. And what is the essence of this teaching? Brahman is the cause of the entire universe. Therefore, as a cause, Brahman alone appears in the form of the entire universe with different names and forms. Instead of Brahman, Pippalada uses the word Purushaha. That already we said. And what is the logic for that? The cause alone appears as all products with different names and forms. One gold alone appears as various ornaments with different names and forms. One wood alone appears as various furniture. Similarly, one Brahman alone appears in the form of the entire universe with different names and forms. It is called the Brahman when the names and forms are in resolved condition. When they are manifest, the same Brahman is called Vishwarupa Ishwara or Shodasakala Purushaha. And therefore, what is the corollary? Since Brahman alone appears in the form of world, there is no world other than one Brahman. Like what? One gold alone appears as ornaments. So there are no ornaments other than gold. Ornaments are different names. Substance is only one. We don't talk about many things even, let alone many gods. We don't talk about even many things. We talk about not even many. So many people complain that Hinduism have many gods. We don't accept many objects in creation itself. That is the question of talking many gods. Neither many people, nor many gods, nor objects. So it should be all very clear. In Hinduism, we have neither many gods, nor many living peoples, beings, people, objects. Plurality we totally reject. There is only one truth. That is called Purushaha. And then the last question is, where is that blessed Purusha is? Pipalada says, Ihaivam asmin sharire. Don't look anywhere else. Look within your own body. Then we may complain then. In the body there are hands, there are legs, there is heart, sense organs, mind, pancreas, kidney. They are all there. But so many things, thoughts are also there. But I don't see any Purusha. Then the Upanishad says, Paridrashtuho, very crucial word. And Paridrashtuho, Purusha is inside and not as an experienceable object, but as the experiencing consciousness. So, Paridrashta, Sakshi Chaitanyam, that is how he is. Just, it reveals everything without doing any action. In its presence, everything gets revealed. That witness consciousness is Shodasakala Purushaha. Aham eva Shodasakala Purushaha asmi. Aham Brahma asmi. Aham evam idagum sarvam. I am all. With this, the Shodasakala question also is answered. All the students are very happy. Therefore, what did they do? They organized a special puja and glorified the guru, pointing out that they have understood the teaching. That is what the guru expects also from the student. We have understood, we have crossed the ocean of samsara, therefore you are our father, we thank you. So with a thank you note, not only the immediate teacher, but the entire parampara of teachers. Namaham paramarshibhyaha, namaham paramarshibhyaha. We offer namaskaras to the entire acharya parampara. With this, the sixth chapter is also over, Prashnopanishad also is over. यो वेदादौ स्वरप्रोक्तो वेदान्ते च प्रतिष्ठितः तस्य प्रकृतिलीनस्य परस्य महेश्वरः श्रीकृष्णार्पणमस्तु नारायणः।